You are, I think, currently preparing kind of exhibition about your pictures, which is made in Burma, and your photos made in Afghanistan also got worldwide recognition. So, what's the next step in your agenda?
Well, I am working on two books at the moment. One book, which is sort of a retrospective of my work, and another book, which is a look at 15 stories that I've worked on during my career. From South Asia to Africa to the U.S. The book I'm working on, which will come out in October, is kind of a look back at my 30 years in photography. I've spent many years working in Afghanistan, India, Tibet, Burma, all over Asia, in fact. But I've also worked in Africa and Latin America and all over Europe. So I'm very excited. It's 400 pages. It's going to be a 400-page book, and it'll be out in October. The other book I'm working on is a book on 15 stories that I've worked on, ranging from Afghanistan to the monsoon in India to the Gulf War, to the Sahel, which is a region of Africa, to a train journey through from Pakistan to Bangladesh. So it's really kind of a look back at 15 stories I've worked on for various magazines.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Majority of your photos, which got huge popularity, are made in a dangerous countries. Perhaps kind of isolated countries. Is there any secret behind choosing this type of location?
Well, I've worked many years in Afghanistan and Lebanon during the Civil War, in Cambodia during that war, and you know, these have been places that have been very much in the news, and being a sort of a photo reporter or a photo kind of a documentary photographer, these were very important situations and places, and, you know, very important politically. And I've always wanted to be at the center of news events and to really see for myself what was going on in these various areas. So I started my career really in Afghanistan in 1979, and it's a story and a situation that it's been very close to me, and a story I feel is of, especially now, is of kind of international importance.
Have you ever visited countries like Iran or Turkmenistan?
I've never been to Iran. That's a country which I'm very interested in going to, because that's a country which I think is often misunderstood, and a country which is has a very interesting heritage and history, and I'd love to go and see it for myself. There's so many, you know, wonderful places there to see, and I'm hoping to get there. I've worked in Uzbekistan and Kazakhstan, but that's really the extent of my experience, sort of in Central Asia.
You said Iran is somehow misunderstood. What do you mean by that?
Well, I think that it's painted with a very kind of a broad brush. I think there's a lot of, the people of Iran, I think, are probably perfectly fine and good. I think that there's this sort of propaganda war that goes back and forth, and United States government, kind of tries to paint a picture of a certain thing and vice versa. I think the part that kind of interests me more of anything is the people and the culture and the history and all of the, you know, the geography. I mean, I think it's a fascinating place, and I think the people are probably extremely hospitable and friendly.
You made this lots of, like, hundreds of pictures in Afghanistan, and you said actually you start from Afghanistan. So why did one photo of this little Afghan girl, Sherbet Gula, touched so many people?
Well, that's a good question, and perhaps I'm not the best person to ask that. I know that we had thousands of letters and requests and inquiries about, who was she and how could they help her, and people wanted to send her, clothes and help, and people wanted to even adopt her. I think there's a quality to her expression which has many different emotions, and she seems it's a bit ambiguous too what is actually but I think her amazing eyes are probably the main thing which attracts people, and she has these very riveting, beautiful, kind of almost haunted eyes looking at the viewer. So I think that's possibly the thing which is so, which attracts people to that picture.
After many years, you went back to find this girl. What was that which took you back to find this girl again?
The reason we went back to try and find this girl was because we had received so many letters and inquiries about her, and the cover had been such a, it had been so important and so popular, and I was also curious myself if there was some way to find her and try and, help her and do something good for her. So we went back in 2002 to try and locate her, and it was almost like a miracle that we were able to find her.
Tell me, if you can, what kind of experiences you have gone through when you were searching Sherbet Gula?
Well, it was very difficult to find her because we didn't have her name. We didn't know her tribe. We didn't know where she was living. We virtually knew nothing about this girl. And the only thing we had was the photograph, which we went back to the camp where I had photographed her originally and showed it to virtually everybody we could talk to. And we were very lucky when one man we talked to remembered her brother, and he was the one who actually led us to her.
You have lots of emotions attached with Afghanistan. So tell me if you can, what does this country mean to you?
Well, the Afghan people are a wonderful people. They have a great sense of humor, and they're very resilient. It's a very, they're a very handsome race, and they live in an extremely beautiful country. And I have many Afghan friends and have traveled through, I would say, almost the whole country many times. And so I have a great affection for Afghans, and I have a great admiration for their heritage and their traditions, and this very beautiful landscape, very dramatic landscape, from the deserts of sort of the south to the mountains of Nuristan and Badakhshan. It's just one of the most beautiful kind of regions in the world.
How is Afghanistan today compared to when you were there first time?
Well, to compare Afghanistan today to the way it was in 1978 when I first had gone there, in many ways it's exactly the same, in the sense that the people living in the villages and the mountains, their lives have not dramatically changed, and their farming and grazing of their animals is still pretty much untouched by this modern world that we live in. But the cities, like Kabul, Jalalabad, with cell phone technology and the internet and cable television and all that, that's all the traffic. I mean, I remember 15 years ago, there were just a few cars in Kabul. Now it's basically bumper-to-bumper traffic there. And, you know, the modern restaurants and shopping centers and, you know, new hotels. It's dramatically changed from when I went there. I mean, it's just, it's become sort of a modern city, I mean, Kabul. And you know, the people now really have become more sort of, you know, the outside world has a big influence on Afghanistan. They're no longer sort of an isolated country. Now they're really become very much part of the community in that sort of West Asian, you know, neighborhood.
You have traveled to many dangerous countries at very dangerous times, and it makes me to think that photographing might mean to you something more than just a profession. What's that, I mean, which leads you to take such a difficult journey in your life?
Well, I have a great curiosity for the world that we live in, and I thrive on you know, adventure and travel and telling stories about the world that we live in. I want to really experience as much of life as I can. And I think that these situations, these political situations in places like Afghanistan and Sri Lanka and Kashmir and you know, the very long list are places where there's enormous upheaval, and there are places where it's a pivotal time. It's a crucial time in their history of their country or region. So I want to see those situations, and I want to tell those stories to sort of inform people about what's going on in the world.
Traveling to dangerous or insecure locations, I assume that you might have also faced lots of difficult times as well. Would you mind to share some of those experiences, perhaps the one which you find hard to forget?
Well, I think the most dangerous situation that I was faced was actually in Slovenia, which was part of the former Yugoslavia, and I was photographing in a small plane one afternoon when this plane crashed into a lake, and I found myself suddenly upside down underwater in extremely cold water, not being able to see or to breathe, and I knew that my life was over and that I was going to die in that plane, but because I couldn't get my seatbelt off, and I was struggling to get that free. And somehow I was able to break free of the seatbelt and swim to the surface. So that's probably the closest call, apart from you know, being bombed and shot at dozens of times in Afghanistan.
If you look back into your career as a photojournalist, what's the most important thing which makes you proud of yourself?
Well, I think the times that I feel the most proud of are the stories that I feel made a significant contribution to individuals or to a region or bringing some sort of kind of enlightenment about a place like, for instance, the environmental catastrophe during the first Gulf War. I think that some of these kinds of stories, when they really, you know, inform people about what's going on, so that we, you know, as a race, we can make their judgments. I think that's the time. If you're a journalist or a documentary photographer, or that you want to make a positive difference in the world.
How you would like to be remembered?
Well, I think I'd like to be remembered for somebody who photographed people with dignity and respect, and shed light on and help to celebrate various people and situations in the world. And I think that by photographing some of these vanishing cultures and vanishing way of life, having a record of that is a great thing for future generations. So in a way, I kind of feel, though, kind of inadvertently as being kind of a historian and a bit of an anthropologist in documenting many of these places which have and are changing forever and will never see their kind of way of life again.